Hello, and coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina, in front of a studio audience. It is Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I am your host, Rod Morrow. Those people over there are people that do accounting work in the daytime and sometimes can't record when it's not after five. And give it up for them people over there. And also, we have two very special guests, recurring guests. I'd almost say they're part of the show at this point. It's Keith and Hemda. What's going on, y'all?
Hey there.
It's me.
How was your weekend?
It was football weekend. Mm-hmm. Also very excited to say, if you supported our Kickstarter some time ago for the Dad Emails book as a reward, they're getting mailed out right now to you.
I saw the pictures of the book stacked on your chair.
Yeah.
Get that. Look at a goddamn book, a physical copy of a book. You don't see that as often anymore.
No, sir.
Not in the pandemic. Congrats, by the way, on finishing the book and seeing the baby leave the house. And
going what's it out like to pack it? Keith is packing it himself. You're getting it from his place. You're not putting your address on them, right?
Oh, boy. Well, anyways. But they're numbered, they're signed. It's very exciting. And, of course, after I get these out, I hope the person that gets, like, in the order you bought it. So if you're the first person, you literally have the first book as soon as I open the box. If you find out later that my dad's book said number one on it, know that that's not true. He has to think that though. His will have a number symbol, and that's how you know it's different and not true. Well, that, but I am going to have him sign for it.
Wow, that is great. I'm glad that it's all finally coming to fruition. It's finally happening. How long ago did you start talking about your dad on the show? As far as these emails,
2020, something like that.
Holy shit! 4 years in the making. For this moment. Mm-hmm. That is fucking insane.
This is a lesson, because at any given moment, especially in the month of January, you go, it's too late, right? Mm-hmm. It's never too late. 4 years ago this started. For things to come to fruition sometimes takes 4 to 5, sometimes 10 years. But you'll get there.
Right. And I mean, I'm hoping y'all enjoyed your weekends, because next weekend you don't have a weekend. Next weekend, you're just podcasting all day. Just mark an X through Saturday and Sunday and go ahead and get right in there. Y'all looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah. Looking forward. So scary. It's so scary. Can I just be real? It is fucking so scary. Every year, it's scary as hell. Every year, I just go like, I don't even stay up until midnight now. I don't know how I'm going to, I didn't even do it for New Year's. So I don't know. What am I doing?
And you've run in like real marathons and real 10Ks and stuff before, right? Triathlon before. What's scarier? The night before a podcast marathon, or the night before like a marathon?
Okay, see, because a marathon where I run, I pick a 10K, which is not a marathon. And then a triathlon, I pick the shortest distance for all three things. So, yes, I was working out for 2 hours, but I found a half a mile swimming. I found a 3 mile running and a 10 mile biking. You know what real triathlons call that? Mm. A sprint. Now, when it comes to the 24-hour comedy marathon, that's a marathon. I would like, nobody can argue with me. That is longest. And it is way more scarier, because what can happen to me on a running marathon is I cry and did. the triathlon, cried both times. But like, I just, you know, peed myself. Those are glorious. And look how you guys are laughing at that. It's hilarious. Yeah. But right before I am going to go on Saturday, I'm going to poop 3 times.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. That's a different type of muscle, I see. all right. Well, we love
somehow,
to see it.
Somehow the comedy marathon is more physical.
We love to see it and we love to hear it. That's what's most important here. And we're going to get into the shows, of course, but I have to talk about our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Severance Season 2 on Apple TV Plus. What the fuck is happening? Okay, now who is that guy? What's going on with the innies? Are you in Severance? Are they monitoring you at home watching the show to see if you'll quit the show? And that's part of the Severance. What's up with that room with those fucking little goats? What does that even like mean? Are we ever going to find anything out about the town? I don't know. Severance Season 2, you got to keep watching or else you'll never know if they even answer those questions that they didn't answer the first time. So see you on Severance Season 2.
Apple I will TV. Tell you this. You convinced me. This ad convinced me. I will be watching Season 2. I watched all of Season 1. What I understand of it is the something spotless of the spotless mind and spotless again. It's like that movie. They are taking out parts of your brain that you don't feel comfortable with. These people are the in the beta phase, I think, you know, and they're taking advantage of people who want out of their brains because they had traumatic experiences, and they're using them to make fake work just so they could see how brains function after you sever them. So I think this
and,
is, you know,
and a room of goats, and there was some kind of fight in the building years ago based on the pictures on the wall. You'll never know. But anyway, yes, they take
and
parts
of your
and some
type of weird sex slave dancers that were in there with masks. That do they live in there all the time? Do they have other jobs when they get off? I don't know.
As if episode one of the new season, they're going to explain all the goats. They explained that. No, they're going to fuck us again.
They're going to ask. They're just going to come up with new questions.
Yeah.
Where you're like, wait, what the fuck? You didn't answer the goat question. They're like, well, now there's a room with alligators. Mm-hmm. I bet you got a lot of questions about that. Anyway, I'll be back. shout out to all my coworkers, Game Theory. They love that show. And they got me to watch it. And then I didn't have the heart to tell them I didn't like it. So I was just like, oh, yeah, that show.
No, I think a lot of these shows are like, oh, this doesn't taste good here. Do you want to try it? That's what people are doing to these shows.
It was just, I would come in and work every day because they had already watched it and I have questions. And I'm like, yes, yeah, so, I mean, what's going on with the room of the goats? That's crazy, right? And they're just like, right? I'm like, yeah. Oh, you don't know what the answer is. Oh, my bad. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you next season.
I think that's putting it's in addition to the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Ooh, I got it. Okay. It's also telling us about the workplace. They're telling you your work is very important so that you could sit down and keep doing it. They put fear so that you can get going. It's all like all the talk in the office is very like, hey, isn't this what you guys do at work? And aren't you wasting time? And aren't they telling you and feeding you that finger traps are worth your time because you seem more elite? And then the goats, I really don't understand the goats. All I can come up with the goats is that everything else so doesn't make sense about their work that they're just running other experiments on the floor. And it's just part of keeping you separate and anti. And well, that's what happens to us when we go outside of this. We see goats and now we can't explain it. Like it's just to keep with the confusion. I'm not saying that's what they said. I'm saying that the goats was something that now we have to talk about.
Well, that's what I like about it is we all get to fill in our own answers and we're all watching our own version of the show. Like, it's like, they're not going to tell us. Let's tell ourselves what the answer is. Okay.
And you're just trying to make Keith mad.
And then Severance listens to podcasts like this and goes, man, that's a good fucking idea. Let's write that.
Yeah. Down. They're like, yeah, sure. That works.
You have that's four employees. Why is the manager's office all the way across the fucking building so she has to dramatically walk down hallways? There's only four people there.
Okay, but those dramatic hallway walks though,
fire.
Okay, especially when the hallway gets real tight.
Yeah,
and at the end they're just like squeezing through. Uh-huh. And I'm like, man, y'all are lucky no fat people work there, because I guess that one guy in the office can never make it to that meeting. The fuck is this design?
Here's the thing, feeling. Like in real life, yeah, you do hard work and your boss tricks you with a pizza party, you know, it's a satire, obviously. They give them fruit salad, but at real work I get paid. Here, you're making me watch fruit salad, and I pay you monthly. Fuck off.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens season two. I think we'll all be back. Except
I'll be back.
No way. And we'll make Keith watch it, because we're just going to keep saying stuff like, the alligator room? Mm-hmm. Right.
You know the bear is called the bear because there's a bear in the cage.
Mm-hmm. And that's Carmine's nickname.
Yeah, hello. Can't be clearer.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
And why do they call him that nickname? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I've learned enough. Don't ruin it for me, Keith. Okay.
Season three. We're going to find out. He liked the Care Bears when he was a kid. And of course, we have Minimum Rate.
Yes.
This one happens at Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
Oh.
Three Dunkin' workers accused of threatening customers with guns have been arrested in Texas.
Whoa.
Now, is this a 24-hour Dunkin' place? That's what I'm voting for.
I don't know the rules to Dunkin'. I don't go there that often. That's a good question.
Donuts started off as, hey, this is where you should come when you want your coffee and donut as a regular person, America, as you're having an office meeting, regular person office meeting. This is affordable. But now when you go to Dunkin', the donuts are usually stale in my research, and the coffee costs just as much as any other fucking coffee in that neighborhood, whether it's Starbucks or a local place. And it's, but I think it's how Americans like it. You cannot order it without sugar or syrup or sugar or sugar or some other sugar form in sugar form.
I feel like it's a popular unhoused location, these Dunkin' Donuts. There's something about the setup where there's a lot of corners where you can sit and the employees don't see you. And they have a lot of shit in their face, more the employees, a lot more than Starbucks. Starbucks has like an open floor plan.
Especially
they love
in New York. Like when I was in New York, because all y'all stuff is on the street. So like, yeah, people can just like walk up in there and chill. You know, here, you know, you got to drive to the Dunkin', so there might not be enough stuff around for people to like want to hang out in there. But yeah, definitely New York. Well, this happened at 8:30 p.m. on a Saturday in the drive-thru. A 41-year-old man and his girlfriend were ordering donuts.
Yeah.
But the woman said an employee was acting rude. She asked to speak to the manager.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right.
All right. See you in hell.
And that's why you got the guns put on you. The worker responded that he was the manager, using explicit language, which I can only imagine was, I am the fucking manager.
Right.
When the couple drove toward the window, the employee came outside, followed by two coworkers.
That's too much. That's way too much.
You gotta go as a group.
They were so pissed already. Something just happened right before. You know, we need the footage of that day. Right. Like, just what is going on? Like, it's this is not regular rage.
They're probably paying it for it. Like, some other asshole was a jerk and they couldn't get the guns on them. And then you pulled up, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of times with this minimum wage stuff, it's not the person who owns the company. It's the person who could keep giving out free shit and probably not get caught. Right. You know, it's not personal, like you're abusing my company.
Well, the three workers are ages 17, 19, and 20, and they brandished handguns towards the couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gang. They was in there strapped up.
All for one.
Yeah. You're allowed in Texas, right?
Probably allowed to have to own a gun. Not sure about
taking them out and following people.
Yeah. That's probably like they probably crossed the law line at some point, which is why they got arrested.
Hey, people in Texas, do you bring your guns to work?
They have bring your gun to work day. It's the other states have bring your kid to work. What I think is interesting, too, is that if they all had guns, there has to be a moment that was like every like Boys in the Hood type movie where like they all were looking at each other like clack, clack. Man, y'all ready to go out here and ride on these fools?
How scary is that? Teenagers coming at you with guns.
How scary without the guns? Right. Yeah. Guns.
Very fucking scary.
Yeah. Like I'm in a car.
They came outside.
Yeah.
I'm in New York and I'm still scared of the Texas guns right now, right here.
If you're in a drive-thru and they're just like, pull up and we'll bring your order out to you, I'm just scared of that interaction. And
Right.
And that's okay. They're supposed to bring me my food. And I'm like, I hope they don't shoot me. over whatever it is they have to do.
They open as soon as they open the drive-thru window, I go, I didn't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Hands up. Yeah.
One of the employees chambered a round in the pistol, pointed the gun at the 41-year-old customer and verbally threatened him, saying, y'all gonna die tonight.
Oh. There's levels. I know I've mentioned this because I learned this when I got robbed. There's levels to how bad your crime is. Cocking your gun is a bigger crime than just pointing it. Literally saying you're going to die is a bigger crime. This guy did them all.
I don't know what drive-thrus are like everywhere else, but here, a lot of times, if you're in the drive-thru section, you can't go left or right. You have to keep going straight before you can get out of the parking lot, the whole, you know, situation there. Does it happen like that in other places?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So you really can't move out of the way.
No, you're stuck there normally. Like, and these new restaurants, like, I don't know this particular Dunkin' setup, but many of them have that driveway where, like, it's partitioned to either side. Like, once you're, because they know they're going to take 50 minutes to get your food. So, like, we don't want people driving off because it took too long. And so, yeah, you're just fucking stuck there. Ain't shit you can do, but hope they don't kill you. But they must not have killed him. I mean, police were called and these people were witnesses. So the three workers got arrested, charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. They were jailed in the El Paso County Detention Facility on $100,000 bonds. I just want to know.
$100,000? Where are they going to get that? It's not Dunkin' money.
I don't think they got it. I want to know if they had to go to jail in their uniforms.
Jail in their uniforms, you know? Right. Well, you know, ironically, the cops are like, you have any donuts on you or no? All right, get in the back.
Listen, we could charge you with attempted murder, but slide over a half dozen of those bad boys and get you on aggravated assault. What do you think about that? All right, so that's minimum rage, everybody. Right. Be careful out there. Yeah. Don't ask to speak to a manager. You might be speaking to the Lord. All right.
I do like those fresh 9:30 p.m. donuts.
Yeah. You gotta have it with your 8:30 coffee.
Right.
I gotta know who started with what words. No?
Yeah.
Like they're already pissed.
And I don't even, this is the thing about minimum rage. I'm never advocating that this stuff is right. Like I'm not, like it's a lot of bad behavior is happening here. But there is something to, like, you're already at Dunkin'. This is not the place where you need to speak to a manager because someone's rude. This is the place where you just go, that was a bad trip to Dunkin', and I go back home, and we all live to fight another day. Why the insistence of, like, someone's going to correct this customer service is so ridiculous at a job where people are making $7. No one cares about them. And by proxy, they don't care about you. And I know it's not professional or right, but it's the truth.
I called customer service about my dental work and they couldn't give a fuck. Imagine the people who are giving you the fillings, that sugar company. They don't give it. They don't care.
Right.
What this are they caring about?
This is never like anyone's first plan. Like you're Dunkin', things fell through. We're all getting by the best we can. Just try to be kind to each other. Someone's having a bad day, they're having a bad day. You're not gonna fix it. Oh, the manager's gonna come over. Oh, hey, don't cuss out customers anymore. Okay, bitch. All right. Well, that's right. We were worker Dunkin'. That won't work.
That's so funny because I am thinking of the times that it was at Dunkin' Donuts, and it's all because I didn't think ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't wake up like, oh, Dunkin', it's my day. No one does that. Calm down, everybody.
America runs away from Dunkin'.
Right. Fuck out of here, man.
They should wear a pin that says, ask me about my $7 an hour.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That should calm me down. Yeah, t-shirt.
The sign on there is like no guns and then no shoes, no shirt, no service. And then we do not pay these people very much. Calm down.
No shoes, no shirt, no pension.
Right. Because honestly, don't we all get, I know when I worked at fast food places, I would surprise the fuck out of people because I would be polite and professional and they were always stunned by it. Like it was never like this is what the quality level of service. They're always like, wow, look at, you made my day. I'm like, Just being like the McDonald's guy in the commercial and smiling and asking what I want. You made my day. That's how low of a, that's how unoften that happened.
But Rod then said, okay, now get the fuck out. Somebody's going to hear you. That's going to be taken wrong.
Break yourself.
So I'm a bitch?
Right. Oh, you want me to make your day, punk? I'll make your day. All right. The first episode of the week was one with no guests. Episode 3766, Something to Cry About.
Mm-hmm.
And we start with the saga, the story, the beginning of the saga. We all heard it first.
Oh, yes, yes.
Keith's olive oil. Keith took his olive oil's extra virginity on the couch. And
you
and
found it. You found it.
And stained it. Have you fixed it yet?
No, I tried. So I tried, like I said before, baking soda, let that settle, then dabbing with vinegar mixture. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there. I am going to try another scrubbing idea. I just haven't committed yet because now there's still a chance instead of no.
Well, you do have 2 weeks.
I do have 2 weeks.
Yeah. This is why I didn't go to a Super Bowl party when I was in New York, guys. It's like, I'm good, buddy. I don't need any stains on the couch. Have you thought about this? If and this is last resort. If we get to Saturday and you really can't haven't figured anything out.
Right.
Moving.
Have you thought about dousing everything in olive oil?
I actually have. And did you just make everything darker? It doesn't smell funny. If anything, olive oil smells good. Maybe I'll put like some garlic in the seat cushions or something. Yeah, of course, the answer is, I'm sure, a slip cover, but I'm not there yet. I didn't accept defeat just yet.
The one drawback to putting everything in olive oil is it'll make you look like a hypocrite for that. Am I the asshole about the olive oil on the counter?
Well, I don't have roommates, though.
Yeah, well, you'll be having people over.
That's true.
For a Super Bowl, they might slip around, and we don't want to give anybody a way to call you a hypocrite. So fuck that.
Right, you're right. You're right.
You brought up that porn mags are still for sale. Yeah.
By the way, going back to the olive oil thing.
Oh yeah,
I knew it'd be a silly, goofy story. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd get more quote unquote shit for it, and I didn't. And I'm starting to find out that there's a lot of guys that have used olive oil to whack it.
Oh, I did not know. Honestly. Yeah,
I'm hearing olive oil, coconut oil. One friend is dead. He used peanut oil. That's a too high heat content.
Mistake.
Yeah, can't do that. But yeah, you heard the studio audience as well just now. Yeah, it sounds like it's not the craziest fucking thing I did.
And I don't even know where the studio audience got that knowledge.
Don't ask.
I don't even know.
You're married now. Don't ask.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how they know the olive oil game is out here flourishing in these streets.
That was a confident yes. Yes.
Yeah, wasn't it? Wasn't it? It was yes. Everyone knows you use olive oil sometimes. The audience says you should not, but she's heard people use it. I have seen it used in porn videos before, but I just assumed
those are professionals.
I didn't know.
Those are professionals.
Yeah, right. Like, right. Your joke. I'm dead serious. I was like, they must know something about olive oil. I don't know. Cause that seems like a thing I wouldn't want anywhere near my organs or, on my couch, but hey, I will find out together, guys. Good luck to Keith.
Thank you.
Now we know why all porn couches are black. Though,
right. Not a lot of white couches in porn.
But yeah, speaking of porn magazines still for sale. Did you buy one when you saw it was for sale just for old time's sake?
They're not on sale. They're for sale. No, okay. I assume they're still $7-$8 each. No.
I do wonder who's buying them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, are those like the same magazines from like 1995? Or is it like, because like a lot of those companies went out of business since the internet.
How come?
Because everybody's jagging it online. They got it in their palms of their hands now, literally both ways.
I guess if you're at the airport and you're stuck and you need something for the airplane because you forgot a book, then sure, then buy it for the flight. But otherwise, I can't think of a reason.
Yeah. Then add that to your dream about being stuck in the bathroom of an airplane.
Right. At least you have olive oil to like open it up.
Can you slide under my... In the third bin over, I left a...
I'm going to be in here for a while. How many minutes you say we got till landing?
Right. Okay, I think we have it open. Not yet! That'd be funny.
You're actually
mid-shit and they figure out the door. You're like, no, not yet. Like, sir, we have to open it now. God forbid.
Speaking of things that is never anyone's first plan, bathrooms in the airplane are never anyone's first.
Right.
But like, no, it's always something went wrong, man. Like, and then adding the humiliation of being stuck in there to it. Oh, God, kill me. I jump out the window to the unbolted plane.
I try to shit in it first to show the plane dominance, but it's not like I'm really enjoying myself, you know?
Yeah, no one's. They make it uncomfortable on purpose so people won't want to stay in there. You know, God, what a nightmare. Jason Kelce at the Chiefs game, you brought this up.
He was having a good time.
Took his shirt off. His wife told him not to. He said he was going to do it anyway. She said, this is embarrassing. You're meeting Taylor Swift. And he goes, I got you this way. I was drunk and you fucking dated me. This is part of my charm. And he was really out there walking in the crowd in the cold with no shirt on. And it wasn't even they were rooting against the team he was rooting for. And no one cared. They just loved that he was there doing that stuff.
Yeah. He would then this past weekend, he gets up to grab another chicken wings. The family like holds him down. No, we'll get it for you. We'll get it for you. You know they spoke to him this weekend. I guarantee.
Yeah. Oh man. But you know what? Good for Jason Kelce. And I hope that it helps to humanize Taylor Swift a little bit more. Because it's getting out of control, the Taylor Swift hate. And you know, she's cool with him. It's not like they have her on camera going, oh my God, this fucking guy. She's looking like, oh, this is as crazy as this is football. All right, guys. But yeah, that whole family they want to be famous so bad. And they're all gonna be famous. The mom, the brothers have the number one podcast on Apple, the one that's playing in the games, he's in every commercial with Kevin Hart, like
right.
That family is going to be royalty at some point. So shout out to the Kelces.
And they can afford the good brain doctor. So that'll work out. When she sees his head bash into the ground, is she like, you know, I'm fucking rich, right?
Yeah. Everyone's like, because this season he had a lower performing season than usual, even though in the playoffs he's fucking killing it now. But everyone's like, he might be retiring. You know, he's having a down year. I was like, I mean, I feel like if I'm dating Taylor Swift, I'm thinking about retiring. Just right. At that point, it's time to get out of the game, man. What the fuck? What are you proving to anyone at that point? You won. That's better than a Super Bowl ring. Get the fuck out of here.
I was in football for a Taylor Swift.
Right.
Now we're there. The end.
Yeah. Do I need money? She's richer than me. Right. I don't even need the money anymore. I'm out. I want to be a kept man. All right. I want y'all to see me and think, damn, that guy really won in life.
For tax reasons, I actually do her a favor if she spends her money on me. You wouldn't understand it. But anyways.
If she spends the night in my house, that's a write-off for her. Because my mansion is broke compared to her shit. Okay. So that was dope. And then I already said the airplane bathroom thing. What was the poll?
The poll was, would you return the $1,250 as kindly requested by Charlotte, North Carolina school systems, saying, sorry, teachers that aren't brand new, you actually got the bonus that only brand new teachers should have had. Again, $1,250. They're saying pay that back immediately, or we can work something out, pay it back over 3 months. Would you have returned it? Your choice is being yes or no? No, 73%. Now, somebody pointed out they're going to take it from your check anyway. I would be clear to say, go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, if they're going to take it anyway, come and get it, bitch. I'm not helping.
Right.
Come, then, I mean, I can't do... If you take it from my check, that is still a no. You just went against my no,
right,
and decided to take it out. But fuck no. They don't pay the teachers enough anyway to deal with this bullshit. We're understaffed in Charlotte, like in North Carolina. We don't have enough teachers. The fuck are you doing taking money away? And you were giving it to the new teachers?
Right.
Bitch, I put in the goddamn war minutes. I've been in here getting shot at by these kids for years, and they,
what are you going to do, fire me? You're paying money to hire new teachers. I think I'm still going to be able to work here. Now picture you're one of the new teachers, and you come into school the next day. Hey, nice necklace, Marie. Oh, yeah, I had a little booby.
I would quit and then make them rehire me with the bonus.
That's
yes.
All right, you guys win. Fuck it, I'm fired. Anyway, y'all hired? I heard y'all giving out $1,200 bonuses or whatever. Fuck, Jesus.
This is more for like a Q&A episode. But back when we took Keith and the girl to Canada, we chartered a bus so that you can meet in New York, or if you were in New York, we're all going to Canada together, right? I think we charged like 150 round trip. And we made it like, you know, when you go bulk, like everyone shares in the price, fantastic price, I think, all the way to Canada from New York. The guy drove down to DC first. We were late for our first event, which was going to be a viewing, I think, of Keith's. And we were going to stay there for the weekend. And we fought with the company after we came back. We disputed the charges through our bank. The charges got given back to us. So it was like, we didn't pay for the bus anymore. So we're like, okay, we have to pay that forward. We gave everybody their money back. Then we didn't know this could happen. They disputed our dispute, took the money back. And we couldn't dispute anymore after that. So basically...
So basically, everybody owes us $50-$75.
And they waited a while, but guys, you're good for it, right?
But we couldn't be like, hey, guys, remember when we gave you the refund? Well, we don't have that anymore. Damn. We just kind of said, I guess we paid for everybody to go to Canada and back.
Damn. Wow, yeah. That is some... I got a scoop, Newsy. You should have took this week off. This is what happens when the investigative reporter steps in.
I don't know how we would ask for money back. Like, we didn't even want to show face like that. Like, that's that's our bad. That's our problem. And that's it. Yeah.
If I was one of these teachers, I'd start teaching the kids CRT on the low. You know, like, soon as they're like, we're going to take the money out of your account, I'm pulling out the banned books. You know, I'm like, actually, guys, racism is real.
Oh, don't critical tell, race theory, the right?
close the door real quick, guys, all right? Either that or I make the kids, like, dumber one at a time. Like, just, I teach one less lesson a day and be like, slowly, these kids will pay for your crimes.
Right.
The X episode was 3767. All of you with Harry Gravenson.
Yes.
And is the olive in all of you referring to the olive oil?
Of course.
All right.
That would be a weird coincidence.
Day two of the olive oil saga continues. Was she an asshole?
She's Carrie, and she's exciting, and she's she doesn't mind her words too much. I wouldn't say asshole.
She is one of the best people I've ever met.
Yeah. She's awesome, and I feel like we're at this point now where people know him just leaving. And every time y'all have an awesome guest, there's at least one comment on the forums like, this person should replace him. What do y'all think about that? What if Keith and Carrie Gray, Keith and the Gravenson, you know, whatever we got to do. but that's awesome. A lot of couch cleaning tips. I feel like Keith was kind of using her expertise to help himself personally this episode. So we had like 20-30 minutes of how do you clean a couch?
He booked a session and she couldn't charge.
Right. Well, what if I reorganize my couch? If you think, is there a way to like maybe feng shui people away from the olive oil? Or what do you think about that?
Hey, Carrie, can you tell me, but in a funny way, because we're still live. Yes. Does this guitar go in my background?
It's yes and, Carrie. It's yes and. So you can't charge.
Since we're here, the cutlery drawer, does it go fork, knife, and then spoon?
Oh man, have you put a picture up of the stain, or you're too embarrassed?
No, it's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I gotta go check these show notes because I need to see how big this fucking stain is.
I think it looks like his shirt.
Oh, damn.
Oh, like damn. It's darker in spots.
Yeah, it just looks like that's It was supposed to just be funny and move along.
Yeah. So, hey, you know this? You know this visual, guys? You can't see. It's kind of like my shirt.
Just picture the same shirt he's been wearing on air on our YouTube channel for.
You're just making me sound disgusting. It's a shirt with a picture of a monkey, and it's gray and black. I wash my clothes.
I'm looking at this.
I want the same thing also.
I'm looking at the stain now. It is very much like a Rorschach test. You know, you look at it and you kind of see what you want to see. Is this thing in the middle? Is this the actual bottle of olive oil? What is this?
So that was a plan that I had. It's a little valve oil for a trumpet. Mm-hmm. And I was going to put it in the middle of the couch. And then people would be like, oh, what's this valve oil? And I'm like, that must be what got on the fucking couch. Because I play trumpet and have strokes. Shit.
Oh, man. You're going to have to buy one of those things they have at the doctor's office. It's just like that paper that they put over the thing. You're
gonna have to giving massages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm just going to leave these books here.
Yeah. So I go to read. Hey, what is this book? No. You don't want to read those. You don't want to read those.
Don't take the last one. Oh, boy.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got a lot of those couch cleaning tips. This is another idea I had. Mm-hmm. I was full of ideas throughout the saga. When everyone comes over, you start cooking, right? Because it's a Super Bowl party. You're going to be cooking some food. You just happen to be cooking by the couch.
Yes.
With a pan. And oops, a little olive oil spilled on the couch. Oh, guys.
Oh, you saw that. Oh, oh, my God. It goes into the couch real fast, and it's dry.
Wow. Like, you do it to the first person that comes in. That's the one that has to see it. From that point on, you just tell the story every time a new person comes in, because you don't have to do it again. You're just like, oh, she saw it. She
tell them. New olive oil.
Wasn't it? What a coincidence. Tell everybody the thing. I'm going to go in the other room.
I'll go, hey, can you move the pan that I left on the couch? Oh, no. Was there olive oil on the bottom of the pan? Oh, boy.
Honestly, I'd watch a Seinfeld episode about this.
I'm going to make some kind of wet spot on my ceiling and be like, I think upstairs is leaking olive oil.
Oh, only there's some Italian people upstairs, guys. Yeah. Maybe use a lot of olive oil up there. I don't know what they're doing up there.
Probably not jacking off. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of idiot does that? You just go to a bodega, get you some more loot or something. Oh, man. Do you ever have like a moment, butterfly effect moment in your mind where you go back to before you got the olive oil and in your mind you're like, what if I just went to the bodega? You know,
what if I just didn't do that?
Yeah,
but this is how much I don't cook. I don't know what olive oil does. First of all, let's stop eating it. Can't be good.
If it's doing this inside our stomach, there's no way.
It's going to make everything hotter and it stains like a bitch. Let's put it on everything.
I feel like 50 Cent should be getting the Kelly Clarkson treatment. He's looking like 25 Cent. He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He says he's been hitting the gym unit. But I think he there's speculation he was on Ozempic or is on it. But he's just kind of been able to like navigate through it without as much judgment, you know? I wonder why.
Oh, because he didn't go on the GQ cover for the body issue, maybe. But I see your sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's because he's a dude.
Right. No, I followed.
Yeah. I want to see, cause I saw someone said something about it on his Instagram comments and he hasn't addressed it. But I think that's really why he's going after Diddy. Like, I think he's like, if I go after Diddy, we'll stop talking about my dramatic weight loss in a very short period of time. And we'll talk about how I'm trying to get this sexual predator off the streets with my 50 Cent documentary. And I think it's working. And I think Kelly Clarkson should come out and drop a documentary on like Ellen, like what really happened behind the scenes.
That's a good point.
At that show. They're like, Kelly, you lost a lot of weight. And she's like, we need to get to the bottom of what happened with Ellen.
Right. Is she a bitch or not? Anyway, folks.
And then lots of Oscars talk.
Mm-hmm.
The nominations are out. I do find it deeply ironic that the women for Barbie didn't make it. I know there's a hack joke. I know there's better observations out there, but God, and people keep justifying it. I'm like, yeah, but like, just take a step back. Isn't that the whole fucking point of the movie, though?
Right. And to be clear, Ken did make it. Ryan Gosling is nominated. The women are not.
And it even ruined him making it because he has to put a statement out like, yeah, so this is some bullshit. I really don't know how I made it and they didn't. I mean, thank you. I'm honored. Also kind of some bullshit, like, because he can't just be like, yes, I did it.
Right.
Like, it's my moment.
That's so unfair to him. And also, I guess Knuff is Knuff. It's just, it is exactly what they sold us. Barbie got enough attention. We'll let you know when we're going to give her attention again, and then you will rebuy more shit.
I hope he goes on stage and only thanks men.
Yeah, I want to thank Will Ferrell, Mattel. I feel it's so ironic too, because I feel like he was great in the movie. Like I'm not. It's not taking anything away from him to say that, but it just feels. And I know it's a voting body, right? It's not like a person sits in a room and goes, "Fuck these women," but enough people felt that way that they didn't get in. It feels kind of icky for them, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Shout out to America Ferrera though, because she did get it, and I can't lie, that was the scene that made me cry.
Right, but like, they didn't know it was a woman. They're like, America, okay, nominated.
Yeah. Well, we love America.
Yeah.
Right. Oh damn, that's who it was. A brown woman. Shit. Oh,
Jesus. Ironically.
Lily Gladstone, who was in Killers of the Flower Moon, okay. Indigenous woman. She got nominated, and I've been thinking about this lately. I feel like every year Hollywood has one person like this that gets nominated, and then they never hire these motherfuckers to work again.
Yeah.
Like it's always like they've arrived on the scene. We've never seen anything like this before. It's about time we can celebrate brown people doing things big. And then you go look at their IMDb in the subsequent years, and it's either they don't work or they have to go back to wherever they came from. And those are the only places they get movies. I'm thinking about that movie that Alfonso Cuarón directed on Netflix. It was huge. It was in black and white. What'd you say, studio audience? Roma. Yes, the studio audience is correct. and they had the
It's also a game show.
Yeah. Listen, it's a variety show over here. All right. We do a lot. We're giving away prizes. It's crazy. but I remember that year, the woman who starred in it, she had never acted in anything before. She was nominated, obviously. She's getting like every write-up, magazine covers, every red carpet. She's wearing like outfits that represent her culture. And everyone's like, we are learning so much. And this is so good. And this is the talent. And I went and looked on IMDb. Every fucking thing she's in after that is either a short or a movie video, like a music video or something. Or it's just in Spanish because it's back home that she got to be a star. Hollywood didn't do shit. Gabourey Sidibe, I felt like kind of similar. Like, oh, Precious, she's like, and then they're like, but we don't have any more roles for that. That's crazy, right?
We can do something with Johnny Knoxville, but
right. Remember the dude from Captain Phillips? Look at me.
Yeah,
I'm the captain. What if this motherfucker don't be in shit no more?
Right.
What we're discovering people every year, and nothing's happening with their careers, and that's what it made me think about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, of course. You know what's funny? Whenever you shouldn't be able to nominate movies that just came out. And when I see that woman from Killers of the Flower Moon be nominated, it does spoil the movie for me because the movie is about the white man tricking Native Americans into they're killing off these people one at a time to get their money and their land through one trick or another and a shotgun. But I know Leonardo DiCaprio's wife isn't going to die anytime soon because she's nominated for Best Actress.
Well, I mean, technically I didn't see the movie yet, but she could have died in the movie and they could still give her.
Because she died so well. Now you're going to be in it for more than 10 minutes, I think.
Really? I feel like if I go back through the history, there's some people that got nominated that got killed.
I'm just telling you, I wasn't surprised what happened.
That's how I feel about famous people being in movies in general sometimes. Like, they'll be the actual main character and they're on screen for a while. And then maybe like two main characters go to this other thing. And like the guard at that place is someone I'm familiar with because they're famous. And I'm like, well, this guard is going to be something, you know,
yes.
Like it's the character that you're just supposed to not pay attention to. And I'm like, well, there's no way this actor would be in it just as the guard in this room for that minute. So now I'm like, well, what's the extra level of this already? I hate that.
And recently, I've been seeing some horror movies recently. The person that did it, you know, let's say everybody's wearing a mask because it's Halloween. The person that did it is the most famous person.
The ones for me are the actors who are typecast, so their face is a spoiler alert.
Yeah,
like Ben Foster. Ben Foster is the bad guy in everything, and even when he's like a protagonist, it's because he's gonna betray you.
Yeah,
in the third act, and the biggest plot twist they ever have with his roles is if he makes it through a whole movie, he doesn't stab you in the back. It's like you didn't see that coming, did you?
Right.
But like, he is a spoiler alert. And then the other thing is, Kevin Bacon lost a lot of money with the Bernie Madoff thing.
Yeah.
And so now he's in everything, but I kind of like that he's just doing whatever the fuck movie, good or bad or whatever. Cause now I truly don't know what, like when he shows up, I'm like, is he a good guy? Is he going to die in 10 minutes? Cause he's got to film another movie. You know, it's like when Wesley Snipes owed the IRS and you're just like, who knows what he's going to be doing right. In his next movie. He just needed to check.
So. Jennifer, who is J-Lo, which Jennifer is that?
Jennifer Lopez.
Lopez always plays a, that's too much for me. I'm so humble and from a country that you don't recognize the accent of because I know how to do random accents, sort of, kind of, like I'm an American here for a while, but there's somewhere that I'm from. And it's always so fucking humbling and so beyond humbling that even when she does stupid shit, you're like, but she's such a humble person. It's like, what? Everything that she's doing in this movie is a mistake. It's terrible. But oh, she came from nothing. She only has wise and truthful and humbling words to say. I bet it'll work out.
Do you know that if you can get her in any movie to say, that she takes the six, but you have to pay $1 million. It's like the Pretty Woman's laugh. She'll do it, but you gotta pay.
It's like Halle Berry's boobs, you know, when Swordfish.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this movie fucking sucks. What if we give her $6 million to show everybody her titties? We got us a movie, boys.
Right.
Congratulations.
Can you just say you're from the block? That's $1 million, but yeah, as many times as you want.
So that was most of my Oscars talk. I feel like every year it's the same thing with the Oscars, and I can never tell with the conversation because, like, part of it is we recognize that it's a bunch of like weird, sexist, hypocritical, racist motherfuckers making the decision, and then part of it is like it's hard to talk about it without buying into the fact that those are the people making the decision. So it's like I'm not even talking about what movies I think are good anymore. I'm just like, white people feel pretty guilty. I think American Fiction's got a chance. Maybe that'll work. It's like doing a forecast of the weather. It's not even like, did I think that was the best movie of the year? I don't know.
Also, wait, you're putting movies against each other that have nothing to do with each other. How does anyone guess what the best movie of the year is? It's just, I guess that's why they put it in categories, best action, best this. Then you can compare. But you also are, from what I understand from the adjacent version here, it's like 10 movies, which means it's about 20 actors. I don't understand why within the 20 or 30 awards, they don't just hand it to everybody eventually. I don't know what they're doing. Are they just making us upset so that we have something to talk about? Are they basing it on that? Because based on, like you said, what's going to happen in social media, they know what's going to happen.
Right.
So by them not picking the Barbie and they pick the Ken, do they know? And they're just setting up the PR for the next whatever.
And it's never like a steady reasoning, right? Cause it's never like, well, this movie made all the money. So obviously that movie's going to get the awards. And they're like, no, not this year.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
I think with Barbie though, it's not so much as a trick as they went,
I thought you were going to vote for her. I thought you were.
And then it feels like people work backwards from like, oh, it didn't get nominated. Let me tell you why it shouldn't have got nominated, as opposed to being like, oh, no, it's fucked up.
Right.
You know, like I saw everybody like I'm on Black Twitter, guys. It's like a separate version of Twitter. Mm-hmm. That only we know about. It's a different
life. Oh, that's so funny. I'm on Middle Eastern Twitter.
Yeah. I've heard. Okay. Yeah. I've seen. I back out of that part of the neighborhood. Okay. Shit is going down.
All we say is Hamas.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it's lunchtime for them or what the fuck yeah. they're saying. Yeah.
But on Black Twitter, everyone's kind of being on some like, oh, these two white women didn't get their shiny award. Is that the right. problem? I was like, guys, that's our thing. We do that every Oscars too. Like, why are we kicking people out the group? They're not white dudes. I feel bad. They probably didn't get it because they're women. Like, why can't we just stop there? Instead, it's like, oh, you're going to cry. I'm like, all right. And then when it's our turn and Color Purple doesn't get shit, we're going to feel bad that the white ladies didn't come over to our side. Like, come, what are we doing, guys? We're helping the white guys at the top. What was the poll, Key?
Have you personally used a slip cover on your couch? 18% said yes.
I wish we knew why. Was it because of olive oil?
I see slip covers now on people's couches. I'm like, you fucking pervert.
You freak.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all get it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Shout out to not having kids, though, you know? Because then you can just, like, leave the lube laying by the couch. You
yeah.
don't have to, you have to go to the olive oil.
I didn't think of that. Do you guys have a slip cover?
No, we don't have a slip cover. But I feel like our couch always has, like, stuff because we lay on the couch to watch TV. So it just always has, like, blankets and quilts and shit over there anyway. So it could be totally sex stained underneath that. Nobody would know.
Right.
But that's your fault. You came over to a couple who doesn't have children's house. All right.
Right.
Assume everything is covered in sex juices. Who gives a fuck? All right. The next episode is Button Pusher with brand new guest, Adam. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Are you just trying Adam, to get the studio audience to say it?
Well, Adam Caton Holland is his name. But it throws me off because there's a Black civil rights guy whose name is Adam Clayton Powell. And every time I read Adam Caton Holland's name, I want to say Adam Clayton Holland. Mm. And I just had to work that through.
I do too. Not to show how
yeah,
woke
of course,
I am.
Brother.
But you know Adam did mention that on the show. He's like, everybody throws in an L. It just flows
yeah,
more.
That's why for me is Adam Clayton Powell, one of the greatest, funniest civil rights people of all time. He used to talk shit about Martin Luther King, which is hilarious to me. like he was pro-Black, but he was like, this motherfucker getting hit by these white people? What a bitch. I was like, Jesus.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I read his autobiography and it's just all, like, he's like half pimp, half like whatever, like politician. And oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm going to read that book again. That was so funny.
It sounds like he's what Donald Trump wished he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he probably did holler at chicks and get women and stuff. Like, there's a part of his book where he just talks about, like, what he eats or whatever. And he's just like, never anything with heavy brown gravy. Because I'm like, what does this have to do with civil rights? What is happening? But was Adam Caton Holland an asshole?
Everybody loved him. We dug him. Yeah, I like this guy.
He fell right in.
Yeah,
he was good. I really love the way he yes-anded him does siesta jokes at the end. Mm-hmm. Because he was like, I took a siesta during the podcast, and he's like, yeah, we should make it a podcast and all that stuff.
Right.
I like that. Like good banter with a new guest. It means that they get the show, you know?
You know, I saw that he had a podcast with Ben Roy, and that is Ben Roy's vibe also on the show when he comes on. So I was like, hopefully they'll have that. And they did. They're just cool guys. I mean, there's not many other places that I would want to live in the United States, but Denver comes out so good a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like whenever you see like podcasters get together for the first time and you're a fan, it feels kind of like how adults must feel when they take their kids on like a play date. or whatever. You're just like, I hope they get along, and they're not, you know, and you're like, oh, they're getting to have fun. They, oh, okay. This is, come back, Adam. This is great, you know. Keith brought up celebrities telling us all their unfiltered thoughts on podcasts and social media and everything now. And he loves it.
Loves it.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of miss when I didn't know these motherfuckers.
When
it's,
you know, right.
It's a good mess.
They did seem like bigger, they seemed like bigger celebrities, whether it was music or anything. You know, you wanted to hear about, I don't know, Guns N' Roses. Like, you had to buy a rock magazine and read an interview on a page. And now I'm like, oh, you're kind of human and dorky.
Yeah. There's a mystique that is gone now. Maybe it's for the best for society. I'm not saying it's all bad or whatever, but I get nostalgic for it.
But now we have to stop getting their art when we find out who they are.
Right.
Like, I don't. Yeah. Who's the guy that cut off his ear?
Van Gogh.
So I don't think we would want to have consumed his art back in the day. He's sending women he likes.
Right.
His ear. Okay. Like, imagine if he could send dick pics. Like, I'm not saying it has to get sexual, but it's inappropriate. You
know? A dick in a box, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
no, I loved you.
So I don't think I want to know more about this dude. I think I just want to go and enjoy how much he painted himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just let me just look at the part of life that I was meant to see. The rest, I don't know. If you get married, she has to deal with it. If we have to call the cops, that's what we'll do. But like, do I have to get involved in your shit in order to consume your art?
Fuck. There's something to it, man. I'm with you, Keaton, that I do love the mess. I'd be lying. Like, I watch, you know what I did this weekend? Nicki Minaj got dissed by Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, no.
Okay, she put out a song called Hiss, and Nicki Minaj has been talking a bunch of shit about a lot of women rappers, but specifically Megan for a while. And Megan just finally had enough, and she tried to be above it for years, and she finally just said, fuck it, I'm writing a rap about you. And it was so good. It was, it had the best.
It had to be, right?
Yeah. It was, these bitches worried about Megan. They need to be worried about Megan's Law. Megan's Law is about pedophilia. Yeah. Nicki Minaj is married to a guy who was convicted of statutory rape.
Oops.
Her brother, y'all talked about this on the show a long time ago, but her brother is convicted of sexually assaulting his stepdaughter. And so Megan basically went there after all these years, this woman talking shit. And I've watched Nicki Minaj on Instagram Live and TikTok and her radio show. And she's just had a full meltdown. She sounds drugged up out of it. She put out a diss song this morning and it's corny and whack. And she's slurring through it. And I'm like, I wish I didn't know this about you. So you could just be the Nicki Minaj.
Right.
That's the best woman in rap that was I knew 10 years ago. But also, I can't fucking stop listening to you embarrass yourself. So, Keith, you have a point, you know? John Stewart is back. Finally. Someone can tell us like it is.
You guys are doing great. I'm just going to come in and start your week off. Okay? And then just keep doing what you're doing, but better, because I'm going to produce it now, too.
He's only there on Mondays. I saw in the article they didn't tell the people that worked there about it. They had a surprise party and brought them out halfway through. Like, and guys, we finally fixed I know all of you were hoping to be the host, but we finally fixed the host problem. We got John back.
I mean, he had to think about this, knowing that it was a big deal with when Jay Leno came back and took Conan's job away. Which I don't know, if your show's not doing so good, then they have to do shit. But anyways, you know that became a big thing with comedians and Hollywood. So it is funny that Jon Stewart had to make a decision, go, yeah, I don't, it's my desk.
Yeah, and this is how I found out his Apple show was canceled.
Right.
Listen to this episode. I was like, don't he already got a show? And it's like, no, he don't, apparently. They fell out over China or some shit. He goes, you got to tell the truth. But yeah, good luck to him and Comedy Central and The Daily Show. I haven't watched much since Trevor Noah left.
But now are both of you going to watch? Because I'm definitely going to
watch on a Monday at least once to see like if he got that old thing back.
So I feel like this is just that we're looking at someone's business. And the thing is the they're in the business of showing us things. By the time we get to see it, they're already worked their business magic. They know you're coming back. This is a decision that they're making. You know, it's why wouldn't they do this? Keith, are you going to watch?
Yeah, I just think the dynamic behind the scenes is very, very interesting. Yes, I'll watch. What's interesting about those talk shows is that it's like amazing when it first comes back. So he has a couple weeks to work on the greatest bits, this kind of thing. And then a week or two is going to go by and it's a job for them. And it kind of dies down. I remember Letterman going to CBS. This is a long time ago, of course. And I started watching. And they had a whole introduction where it's like shows that have nothing to do with David Letterman. They're introducing David's David, and different people named Letterman. And just one big production scene after another. Next thing you know, it's 6 days later. And it's like, hey, it's me, Dave. Here's the top 10 list again. Here we go.
Yeah. And like, also, it's going to be a weird letdown between Monday to Tuesday, right? Like,
yeah.
He's not like the second that someone else is hosting, there's going to be some ratings drop or something because you're the big deal and you're only the big deal one day a week. That's kind of an odd choice.
And they have to do, and they're going to have to do this when it's that next Tuesday being like, yeah, sorry, it's me, like a little joke about that. It's but Jon Stewart is the producer. Can he say, you know what would be funny, guys? Just go, oh, shit, it's not your pal. It's me. Another fucking stand-up who gives a shit.
Yeah.
They'll get it. They'll get it. You'll see.
They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be disappointed to see you. That's the joke. Yeah.
This might be funny. You start talking, then I lean my head over the side of the stage and do a little wave. The audience will love that. And then you keep going. That'll be funny, I think, producer Jon Stewart.
That's definitely going to be at least one gag of him like pretending that he was supposed to do the show and he didn't.
Right.
You know?
Here's like, what's going to be funny. You, as the new host, you cut to me as if I'm a correspondent. Yeah. And that's funny because I would never do that. That'll be funny to people. Right.
Everyone will cheer for me. But when you do it normally, like you always do, they won't because it's not a big deal. You should be doing that bullshit. it is a weird situation, but I'm intrigued more than I was with that celebrity roundtable of guest host shit they were doing. Yeah. When everybody's like, either hire Roy Wood Jr. or don't. Like, what are we doing here? This is, you know, you're just bringing people in to be like, what does D.L. Hewley have to say about it? Like, no one cares.
It does feel weird to me. Like, it seems like you almost don't believe in your show.
Yes.
That's what I think. It, you know, not that, who knows if I'd be watching anyway. But Jeopardy, when they had those, the rotating host for way too long, I'm like, you don't care.
Yeah.
You can't commit. You don't fuck it. With that said, let's see what I do in March. But you don't care enough.
It is like you're bringing people in to be celebrities, not the job. Yes. Like, this is Sarah Silverman being a celebrity for 2 weeks. It's not Sarah Silverman, she's got to commit to the investigative, we're going to have her on the street. We're going to have her flying out doing interviews. It's like, no, we need to make this as easy as possible. This person just comes in, sits at the desk, reads the teleprompter, says some jokes, and we move on. And it kind of belittles what the show is supposed to be and what a host has to do to have those responsibilities. It reminds me of there was a BET Comic View back in the day. They got to a point where they would actually take montages of comedians doing setup, premise setup, whatever, punchline. And they would just fucking take every comedian and take a clip from every joke. So it's not even like, oh, they took a 2 minutes of Rod set. It's Rod going like, oh man, you ever be at the store and y'all see a white person shopping? And then they cut to the next person. They're like, white people be shopping like, I think I might get this item over here. I don't know. What about this one up here? Can I get some help? And then they cut to the next person. That person like, oh, shake it, duck it, quack, quack. Black people be shopping like, motherfucker, goddamn. It's like, oh, you just belittled the entire premise of your show and every person's work into like, this is content. None of this is their personal bullshit. And I feel like that's kind of what you do when you don't have a host or you have rotating hosts. You're kind of like, It doesn't really matter what the fuck, who's hosting it. You're just here to read the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I saw rotating hosts after I leave as like a 1 year project, but.
Well, I find that different too, because I'm going to stay the host.
Right.
And to me, a podcast is different because I feel like with Keith being here, you'll have personal, they'll have to bring their personal shit to it. Like it won't be Keith and then a teleprompter that they're reading off of. So it's like, Anyone could have co-host this show with Keith. It'll be like, no, we'll find out something about this person in the time that they're here, you know? Right. Let's see. I already told y'all my coworkers love Severance, and I didn't have the heart to tell them I didn't like it. oh, man. So sad. Keith watched that video of that kid, and all he could think about was abuse, man. Fuck.
The kid that mimicked his dad so that he has his dad attention watching sports.
Yeah.
The mom is laughing a little bit that's taking the video. The dad isn't even looking over like that was a cute moment. The dad is really upset about the TV. Like if that kid didn't just break you, other shit's going on. I don't like it.
Yeah, Keith, that's so sad. I feel like your dad robbed you of whatever it is that allows the others of us to watch that and be like, oh man, that's adorable. That little kid thinks he's watching football.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know this. It's okay to not notice every cute moment of your kid.
If it's viral, it's so fucking cute.
You don't know it's going to be viral till after.
Well, I didn't say whack off that it's viral. I'm saying at the moment, it's fucking adorable. If I was there, I would have been, look at that. But he didn't even fucking notice that. He didn't notice that his kid made little fists on his forehead, leaned back, and mimicked him exactly. Yeah, you didn't know because you're an asshole dad.
Oh, wow.
No, it happens every week for however long football is on and he's had that kid. It's not as cute to him anymore because it happens. That's the 90th time that kid did that shit. So much so that the mom knew to pull out the phone and be like, look at this shit. This is going to do. He's going to happen again because it happens all the time.
Yeah, it's the only way you get dad's attention. So you keep fucking doing it.
Yeah, and next thing you know, you're writing a fucking book because you tried to fuck your girlfriend.
That's right.
Your ex-wife.
Yep.
I feel you.
Yep.
But I love how Adam started asking questions here because he showed some empathy right there because I was like, oh man, Adam might not know everything on the show and about Keith's dad and all that. And he immediately is like, so what's going on? It's not like if you look under the comments of that video, it's everyone going, what the fuck kind of abuse is this? The comments are generally liking it. So.
They're cute liking it. They love it. The cutest thing you'll ever see. And I'm like, doubt it.
That kid's going to have they're going to have to start making fake stuff for that kid so they can keep going viral now.
That kid's going to be on a Dr. Drew show in 20 years. You'll see.
I hope we find this kid years from now and he's healthy.
Well, of course I hope.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But I'm of a certain age and I've seen a few things.
Right. Okay. also, that's the only time that fathers show emotion. So, I mean, what the fuck is a kid supposed to do? Football time. We all know the rules.
He's going to keep mimicking him, though, like as he grows up. It'd be fun to follow that kid. He's like, I'm back from work. Everyone's dumb. Where's the food, bitch? Cutest thing you'll ever see.
Oh man,
you are so broken,
right? God shit. Some days it's like your dad won, you know. Yeah. It's like some days I'm like, nah, you fucking beat him, dude. You learn to have more than three emotions, and then some days I'm like, he's still in there, still ruining shit. It's not a trick. Adam said his kids have never had fast food. But I feel like if they've never had fast food, they either grow up to be people that only eat fast food because you got to rebel at some point, or you got to be the weird kid. And we all remember the weird kid to school, man. Like, there's some shit that's toxic, but you got to do at least a little bit of it so you can be like fit in or whatever. Or else you got to learn some life lessons way too fucking early about people and peer pressure and shit. And that sucks. Trust me.
I got your ice cream and you don't got none. Your mom.
Like, we all remember the kid that had the bag lunch, but like weird stuff was in the bag lunch. So then it was like, no one wanted to trade with you. Or I thought every ethnic kid knows what I'm talking about. All the like, oh, for real? That's what y'all eat? I'm going to keep sticking with the burger and fries. Yeah. It's like, Sure, burger and fries is bad for you, but that day, I'd rather fit in, okay?
Right. With my cold tomatoes and eggs.
Yes. like we don't, because you're a kid, and the other kids aren't like, that shows that your mom cares about you, and every day she makes a fucking tomato and egg breakfast, and you get to work. No, no, and they're like, you eat tomatoes and eggs and not McMuffins, you nerd?
Shout don't out sit to at Shakshuka. Try it out, you guys. Shakshuka is the best.
It's so good. It's so good. I made one.
New Yorkers are embracing the shit out of shakshuka. You can get shakshuka in so many different places that have breakfast or brunch. Now it's like,
if your place has a tomato and an egg, you're in for a fucking treat. Shakshuka.
They have it at fancy restaurants down here sometimes.
They do. They're making it a fancy thing that... It's so fucked up the way this kind of stuff works. Of course, tomatoes and eggs are some shit breakfast that, like, it tastes so fucking good. I'm sorry. But I did not know that you can say shakshuka to Americans and they're like, 1999? Yes.
Yes.
I had no idea. It should at least come with some Israeli salad. This is bananas.
I feel like Japanese people in ramen, they have to come to America and be like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Yep. 20 what dollars for it's ramen? 25 cents. You have everything at home to make it fancy. You don't have to. Okay. All right. You guys are doing the thing.
I give them the packet from the store. I'm like, can you use this instead? And give me how much for a rib?
Right. Guys, switch my noodles out for the 25-cent pack and charge me $10. Okay. I think we can reach compromise. What was the poll?
Who would win in a physical fight between Keith Malley and Ben Stiller? 100% Keith.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Do you want to physically fight him?
I don't want to physically fight him, but I'll tell you what. Can I tell you a secret? As silly as this poll is, it's good to know.
Okay. And what?
But why would that happen? Because of the Severance TV show.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Because I can see how you'd be like, say, Starbucks. He'd be in there to get something. And then, you'd be like, Ben Stiller. Hey, man. What's up with those little goats?
Yeah, and he's like, and it couldn't be clearer. And I'm like, oh, I think we have to go 100% right now.
Right. Why don't we go outside, man? Yeah. I think you probably do this all day.
He fights all day. He could take me because he has to fight every time he goes out because of this
TV show.
He's
like, another one of these guys. Huh? All right. Let me guess. You don't know what's going on in that bottom room. You want to know if that woman ever leaves the fucking thing?
As he's pulling the sleeves on his arm up.
Yeah.
Okay, right? You don't know what the deal is with... Right.
He's hitting you and explaining the plot.
Right. Because there was a bear in a cage.
Yeah. I was going to save this for season two, but I guess, spoiler alert, bitch. In the last episode of the week, episode 37. Wait, did I get the numbers wrong? 37, 60. 69. Oh, yeah, I did. I must have said 68 for the 60. I said 66 for the last one and 68. And that makes this one 37, 69.
Nice. Real nice.
Favorite episode of the week. Episode 37-69.
Nice.
Divine intervention with Gaster Almonte.
Yes.
Oh my God. Even in mic check. Just the kind of person you just want to work with.
He's a human Red Bull in the good way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Was he an asshole?
No, but no.
I had to ask.
They call me Kemda.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, a couple of times.
And I was like, I'm letting it slide here. That's the least offended I've ever been by someone repeatedly calling me Kemda.
Yeah. And that was like him trying. Like, yes. I've given up. I know I'm never going to get the sound right. So I'm just with the like, all right, it's Hemda. We going with the H. We leaving the C alone. That's not for you, Rod. Mm-hmm. People just going to have to understand you got a lazy American tongue and deal with it. And I feel like when people say Hemda, it's really them. They're trying. They're still, they don't want to give up and go to Hemda. They want to go, no, I can figure a way to get that C in there. I'm like, no, you can't.
It'd be funny. You see them like shake their head no every time they say it. Like they're like, "Hey, Kenda, that didn't come out." Anyways,
yeah.
I'll double up next sentence. Shit.
It's tough because it is I am the person you're probably practicing saying my name before you say it, because I've had to, and I am the person you're going to have to ask what when I introduce myself, or I know you're not listening. Like, there's so much to say. I hate it's tough. That's why I wanted to change my name, so it doesn't become a thing. So it's not, yes, but it is a thing.
Yeah. And we all should have a thing. Fuck it. The motherfuckers walking around with their thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'd love to live in another country, and then when white people come there, we just fuck their names up. Oh, so good. That must be that's like the only reason to literally like live in another place, is just to be like, oh, watch this. His name's Jason, but they don't know. They don't say that around here. Imagine bringing the field goal post to the park.
That's crazy.
To play football and losing.
Yeah. Now, and then you gotta pack it up.
Bruh, what? Like, you already got your ass whooped, but you can't be, there's got to be an injured person like hopping around with one, like, oh man.
And the other team, they hang out late, they're drinking beers, these kids. But it's like, don't forget the left side of the goalpost. Yeah.
They're like, hey man, let's just chill here. We already whooped their ass. Now we're at the park. Oh man, fuck that. Only the South should play football. There, I said it, guys. Okay. That sport is really only for us. I don't even know why the fuck the South, and then the Midwest, where like white people don't have anything to do but like farm. Mm-hmm. Those guys can play too, because we need
people
to be in the line.
You have farmland amount of acreage, you know.
Yeah.
We don't say how many acres we have. We say how many feet we have. So right. How can we play football?
That's abuse.
High school.
Y'all are making these kids play football knowing you got to do it in like an asphalt park. What? That's fucked up, man. Y'all have room for that shit. Get out of here. Sorry, Gastor. And I'm glad this kid isn't into it. Fuck that shit, yeah, man. Yeah.
I went to a private Jewish school before high school, and our recess was the concrete parking lot across the street. This costs money to my parents to send me to this Jewish education.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Some of the parks are like a park in New York could be like, straight up, no joke, 75% asphalt.
Yes.
And it's still a park, but and like if you're walking around, it is still a place that feels more like nature than the street. You know what I mean? But it's just, they don't got room for all that bullshit. I don't even know why they make them kids do that. That's fucked up. And it's not like we look up all the time and go, man, those New York quarterbacks or whatever, you know, like, hey, you want to get a good running back, you know to go to New York City. That's where they born and raised. No one's ever good from there. What are we
doing? You know, we think we're in a park as soon as we leave our place. All sidewalks are parks.
Right.
Like, the sunshine is on us. We feel green underneath. You gotta make do.
You know how people piss in parks? Yeah, right on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I listen to the War Report, and like every once in a while, Gastor will go somewhere because he's such a New Yorker. And it doesn't matter where it is. It might as well all be like another country. Like, he's like, oh yeah, I went to Denver there, and they got fucking streets with trees on the side. And on the highway, you can just like walk in the grass. I'm like, oh, that's right. You're from New York, New York. You don't. Like, this is all new, you know?
Yeah, I went to other places. I'm like, wait, I have to rent a car. Because, wait, you guys can't go anywhere unless you take yourselves. That's like a real, like, there's no op. Mm-hmm. What about it? Nope. There's not a bus that comes once an hour. Nope. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, I had to get used to that in New York, where people were like, oh, that's about like that's 30 minutes away. Here, 30 minutes away is like 30 miles away. 30 minutes away in New York, man, that might just be like the next borough over. That might just be, you know what I'm saying, a few blocks. Like, it's crazy over there.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, I'd love his observation about Pittsburgh teams having the same colors. That was he's like the Steelers, the Flyers or whatever. They all have
the
black
Bumblebees.
And yellow.
Right.
I assume.
So, he's right, and we should immediately make every state do that.
Yeah.
You know, every city. Like, why do the Panthers and the Hornets have different colors? Right. I should be able to wear the same thing to both games, watch both teams lose.
And it should be the state colors of the flag, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that y'all's colors? Black and yellow is y'all's state flag?
We have a lot going on in ours, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How about just wear the state flag as your uniform?
I mean, it's cool except Mississippi. You know, once you get down too far south, it's like black people can't wear those. You get fucked up. People don't think you Kanye West out here. No, I just like the school. I just like the school. Get out. Jagoff as a thing. Is it, how's it spelled?
Jagoff.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was there for that conversation. He was not exaggerating.
Wow.
It was 100% that, and it might have gone out for two more rounds. I'm not sure. Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what we say. Jago. Yeah.
So confident. There might have been somebody else there nodding their head like it was going to come off from nodding so hard.
I don't think this guy gets it. We say it. Like, what's the etymology? Yeah, jagoff. Like someone's a jagoff. Okay.
It's so weird too, because like that's on your gear for people to take out of your state to be like, I went there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you go to New York, they sell you like the Big Apple merch. It's not like, hey, I'm fucking walking here. That's not on anything.
Right.
What a weird thing to do.
You know, we have these pens that says piece of shit. And that's what you say around here. Everybody's a piece of shit. And we say it. You piece of shit?
Man. So, I'm team Taylor Swift.
Of course.
So I love this episode because y'all finally brought up the AI deepfakes and the amount of just raw sexism and hatred that's happening towards her. And this is the thing. They fuck with the wrong white lady. Okay. And I love when they do something fucked up to Taylor Swift and it mobilizes her army of fans because those white ladies get shit done. All right. Mm-hmm. Ticketmaster was ripping us all off and making it so you couldn't buy tickets. Like they just like, maybe you get a ticket, maybe you don't. Fuck you. Here's a fee. Fuck you. You piece of shit. What are you going to do? Not go to the concert? They did that shit to those white ladies and they went to Congress. They went to Congress and when the Beyonce tour came, we got our motherfucking tickets. You ain't seen no articles about like Ticketmaster ripped off the Beyonce people because Taylor Swift, to make a football analogy, Taylor Swift's people were the fullbacks of the fucking offense and the running backs of the rest of us running through. And I really hope that they're the ones that stop this AI bullshit, man, because they really will make them pass a law to be like, you can't just do this shit to people and it not be against the law. I see they're already suing the dude from the website.
You know, you're very much confusing a bunch of Karens out there going, so do we call the manager or not, asshole?
Yeah, no, y'all call him for Taylor if it's for the best of rest of us. If we're being honest, guys, Karen's got a bad rap. Okay. A lot of us want to call the manager, but we'd rather you call the manager and then we make fun of you. Right. But you really did make it better for the rest of us. Like, I don't want them having an attitude at my Dunkin' Donuts either.
Well, do you know what I do now? If I'm calling customer service, I go, hi, I'm a white lady. May I speak to the manager?
I do it too. Yeah. I'm like, hello, this is Roderick Morrow, and I'm fucking pissed. And they're like, help her.
I just go different. I go, hi, this is Kemda Khalili. Yeah, I know. My parents were open-minded, but they've since closed. Anyway, before we get started, can I speak to your manager to ensure that you think I'm white?
Right. Am I currently already speaking with the manager? What's the manager's line?
I feel manager vibes on you. Am I getting that right? As a white lady, I could sense it.
Well, here's my problem. First of all, let's assume I asked for your manager. Okay. So I see I was...
Right. You have a shirt on, it just is like, I've already asked for the manager.
I've already met your manager.
Yeah. A couple of times I said, hi, I'm a white lady, and said, one moment, please. Hi, I'm the manager. How are you? They don't know over the phone, guys.
Right. They're like, oh, why are you even calling this line? No, this is the manager's direct number.
Hi, this is Karen. I lost the official white lady number. Would you mind repeating that for me? Just confirm it. I believe it's 888.
Managers just be at home on their day off, their personal phone rings. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I wasn't working. I'm coming to the office right now. What do you need, ma'am?
Just dial white lady 800.
But look, when you use your powers for good, we love it. And if you motherfuckers can get the revenge porn AI shit made illegal and like prosecutor. Good, because you know what's going to happen. If you don't care about Taylor Swift, fine. It's going to happen to someone you like. That's just how this shit works. Who gives a fuck? It's Taylor Swift. And next thing you know, it's like, why are they doing Rihanna like this? This is fucked up. And it's like, it was fucked up a year ago, too. So let's just start first. You know, the first person that Kanye flipped out on? Taylor Swift. We should have paid attention at the time. We would have been paying fucking attention. We would have been like, oh, this motherfucker's crazy. He's going to be a problem. This is like three steps from a Nazi. But no, we was like, oh, fuck that little white girl. Now look at us, looking like fools. We made a plague upon the earth that we can never take back.
Didn't he start with Bush? Wasn't he like George Bush? Doesn't care about black people. Mm-hmm. And we were like, that's not what we were talking about. And he's like, it fucking will be.
Yeah. Also, him to win Old Testament on their ass. She was talking about people turning the pillars soft. It was very Keith Justice like, you know.
Here's the thing. When we talk about people who are leaders in religious communities and you go like, how come you believe them? I don't know. How come I believe that Noah can have two giraffes and now we have all the giraffes that we need? How do I know that like the water got split in half and then you were able to cross the fucking sea? Like, why am I believing that? Why wouldn't I believe in crypto then if it's coming out of your super honest face? It's the worst kind of backstabbing. It's ridiculous.
Here's the thing, though. If people still believe in religion, why isn't what he said a good enough reason?
That's what I'm saying. It is a good enough reason. God told you all these other goofy stories that we're following and coming back for every fucking, I don't know, sometimes week, sometimes day, depending on how much you believe in these stories. You're telling us these stories, then why can't I have this story, too?
Why can't God
be in a... Miracles are supposed to happen. This guy's saying the miracle will come if you follow me down this path. And then I follow you down the path and then everyone calls me an idiot. But,
Right. And nobody wants to think their God isn't hip enough for crypto.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't around back then, but he's got some thoughts now.
Right.
Yeah. The miracles of that time happened around that time. You had salt, so you turned into pillars of salt. Now you can do pillars of other things, I'm sure. I don't know. What's God telling you? I believe you about this other shit.
He's going to be in the courtroom and he's going to have to swear on a Bible. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be like, that makes total sense. And then he's going to be like, yeah, so God told me to keep the money. And we're going to be like, you fucking liar.
Right.
You weird fucking weirdo liar abusing people. Anyway, you swear to tell the truth.
I mean, priests have a degree in telling you what God said to them. So why would the judge even ask you to tell the truth? Mm-hmm. You only know how to speak the truth. You have been anointed, appointed. What kind of ointment do you do? Whatever it is, it happened.
And also, like, why is God so worried about the money down here? What is this guy's problem? You're in heaven. You have everything. I read the descriptions. The houses are made of diamonds and shit. What do you care about this couple hundred thousand down here?
I'll tell you. You know how Dave Ramsey justifies it? His show is the best infomercial I have ever heard. It's so brilliant. You have to hear it just for the brilliance of crazy. Anyway, you gotta save like no one else so you can live and give like no one else. Why does God care about money? It's not your money. You are the steward of God's money. And that's why if you're one of his kids and you don't believe in God and you don't follow it, you don't get to have his money because he's just holding it for God. So when he dies, he has to pass it to other people who are holding it for God. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to get that money.
This show sucks.
Yeah. This is worse than Severance. When do y'all get the answer to season two?
He sounds like a full-blown idiot.
What if God's Ben Stiller? He's just like, I didn't think of the rest of this shit. I didn't know they were going to extend the season to, I guess I'll write a New Testament. Also, why is there no more Testaments? So that's it. New Testament, 2,000 years old or whatever the fuck. We ain't got no more Testament. We need a current modern day Testament.
You don't think crypto will come up in the New Testament?
Right. We need a new Testament.
Okay? I thought Harry Potter was your New Testament.
I honestly do think anthropologists like if humans are alive 3,000 years from now, they will be like, apparently these people worshipped Captain America. I guess they believed in this deity. He could do a lot of things.
I like to think that God finished the Bible and he's like, yep, that's pretty fucking perfect. And done. I think we covered it all. That's good.
And to mail these off myself. All right.
And I'll leave my return address for everybody. It's up in the sky.
I do want to live in a world where if you had time travel, you go back to the first people that read the Bible and it was the Harry Potter. I would like to see them. Like, this shit is crazy, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, he said it flooded the whole earth 40 days, 40 nights. That's fucking insane. Hey, this motherfucker can write. Who wrote this? King David? Yo, what's his next book?
you got to hear the dialogue from the Ark. It was fire.
Right. I didn't fuck with the Bagat chapter. Like, that shit was long and I couldn't really follow it.
Can you imagine you're supposed to read the Bible, right? Listen to God's word. But you go, you skip the first chapter.
Right.
And what? You're just going through pages to get rid of them until you get to Genesis. I mean, you know, the real meat of it.
Yeah.
That feels weird.
And why in church do they never preach from, like, Numbers? You know what I mean? Because I read Numbers one time. I was like, this shouldn't even be in the Bible. Who's the editor for this? It's all just, like, five of this, six of that, and then this guy begat this guy, and this guy was his kid, and this, it's like no one's ever pulling that one out on a hot Sunday sermon.
Right.
Because you know what? It's so much to memorize already. They pull out chapter 3:16 or whatever the fuck. And you can only memorize so much. And I bet the words right after the quote that you said, it probably goes to shit.
Yeah.
You know? It was absolutely. Like, oh, and God gave all the miracles to this family, but only to be followed by, like, you didn't, you're only memorizing some parts of it. And also, like, how much of this is occupying our brains, and we all don't believe in this. Right. I still know in Aramaic, in Hebrew, Aramaic, like in biblical, I know the first words in the Bible. I will never get that out of my head.
Right.
I was out of Jew school like 40 years ago and it's still in there.
Yeah, I absolutely can still do that stuff from the, and I didn't even spend that much time in church. My parents aren't that religious and I still remember Sunday school bullshit, all that stuff. Like, ugh. But you know what? That's fine. Shout out to Santa Claus. That was the first thing to tell me my parents are liars. And then I was able to go like, this religion thing, probably also bullshit. just believe in it for the presents, guys. All right. Don't let them know you don't know, but you know. What was the poll?
The poll was, are the people that fell for God's crypto scam full-blown idiots? 88% say yes, of course they are. And that's okay to say. There are idiots on our planet, and you can find them some places like cults and churches.
That is true. I'm not going to lie. It's a hard, as empathetic as I am, it's hard to watch those fucking cult documentaries because, like, my brain hits a switch somewhere, not at the beginning, but, like, halfway through, I'm like, okay, now, when they started fucking the kids, you knew.
Right.
Come on, man.
Your wife has to sleep with me tonight. Nah, the way he said it, though. He's real good. Yeah, Some people are good with words when I happen to be at my lowest. Okay, idiot. Okay.
That sounds like a man just want to sleep with your wife, man. That don't really sound like that. They didn't even say that about the bar of the cult when you first signed
up. Right. You wouldn't get it. There's a whole setup. He eats soup and I sit at his feet and then we can eat when he's done. Like, you wouldn't even get it.
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep. I watched The Cult of Mother God on HBO Max I guess now. And like, there was a period where she's poisoning herself and she's dying and then she dies. And this happened recently. So they had phones and social media and they're like, yeah, you can tell by the reading on this thing, man. Like, she's still in there somewhere. And I'm like, that's a corpse. That is a corpse. You're looking at a dead body telling me it's not dead. You don't even have to be there anymore. She's gone. The leader is gone. Leave, escape. And no, they drove around with her dead body like Weekend at Bernie's. That's what the fuck that called. So, I don't know. Let me believe that I would never
know.
Be.
Hey, we don't know, though. You know? We don't know. We haven't made up our mind
yet. Hey, look. You call it. Some people. I can see it both ways.
I wasn't there. I only saw an 8-hour documentary. You guys being fucking idiots. I wasn't there.
I look at a kid in a clip of a kid with his father, and I go, adorable. Some people look at it, abuse. We all see different shit, and it's all valid, and we just need to leave it at that. And that's how we're going to leave last week, Keith and the Girl. Last week on Keith and the Girl, Karen did a great job hosting last week. Mm-hmm. Studio audience, big Karen fans. and we'll see you guys soon. And we'll also see you during the marathon. So make sure you guys tune in for Karen and I's time, especially, which is Saturday night, I believe at 8:30. So be there and experience more of this magic. Thank you to all the people that comment on the forums and stuff. I see y'all. Shoe Booty, I got my laundry stuff today. So now I'm unsubscribing from all the emails. and we'll see if it works. Until next time. Peace.